Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Adrian Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the bologna in my sandwich, the longtime best friend, Rich Stambolian.
What is going on, my friend? How are you doing? I feel like I am trapped in a vortex, and I can only talk to Andrew Zarian.
That's pretty much what we've done. This is like our ninth show in a week. My God, you know what? I do want to say thank you to everybody. WrestleMania week was awesome. You guys, you know, we had thousands of people upon thousands of people discover the show this week. I think combined between the two nights, we had like 50,000, 60,000.
Something
views,
like that.
People watch, which is
a
you
lot
know,
of people watch.
Dude, that's tremendous for two you know, a-holes from Queens, New York, two kids from Queens that grew up loving professional wrestling, and you know we, it's just amazing that we have this reach now and this audience. So I do want to thank everybody. A little mushy here in the morning. We are very tired. We are very tired. But we were going to do a show on Thursday, but after that Monday Night Raw, I was like, dude, we got to come on. And Rich is like, yeah, man, we got to talk about this because, oh, boy, a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're going to sum up WrestleMania really quickly here for those who did not see it, which I can't imagine you're watching us and did not watch WrestleMania. But there was a lot to unpack here. Two nights, Saturday, Sunday night, very quick shows, about three and a half, four hours each. Night one had a 40-minute delay, which did not help with the pacing of stuff. But night one was still a very good night. Night two, I don't know. Did you like night one or night two, Rich?
I like them both. Again,
which one better, I should say?
Night two. For some reason, like I remember just like talking to you and Josh about it. Big shout out to Josh Coleman who came to hang out this weekend. It seemed like they put such an emphasis on night two, like as soon as night two started, right?
That it
like,
didn't live one, up to the expectation, you mean?
No, like night one was fine and fun, but then night two was like got a little more glitz and glam, you know, like right off the bat. Like the three of us were watching and going like, yo, this is awesome right now. Like what, like why didn't they do this for night one?
Yeah. Okay. let's unpack this, right? Let's start off. Mm-hmm. Night one had that tremendous main event.
Yes.
Night one was solid all around. I think I like night one better. Night one opened up with Vince McMahon. You know, he opened the show when he welcomed fans back and he did this thing, you know, like he does. You know, he said, if you say welcome to WrestleMania in that voice long enough, your face starts to morph. And all of a sudden, you look 20 years younger. I don't know if you noticed that. I think that's what Vince looks like now. That's what's happened. If you say, welcome to WrestleMania, like 40, 50 times in a row, you revert back. Vince was looking very youthful in the face.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's starting to resemble the cat lady of New York that lived in the Hemsley building. You know? lived in Trump Tower. Lived in Trump Tower, the cat lady. And she got evicted. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole story about the cat lady of New York. Wow. It's a very sad story. She was a socialite, very attractive and wealthy socialite that transformed into a kitty cat. I'm not even exaggerating. She was called the cat lady of New York, and I think now she's living in like an apartment in Queens. Really sad.
Oh, boy.
Vince McMahon opens up the show and welcomes back fans. That was cool. Bebe Rex? How the hell do you say this woman's name?
Bebe Rexha.
Bebe Rexha. Saying America the Beautiful. The wrestlers remained on the stage during the performance. Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, and Samoa Joe were the announcers. And as they're beginning the show, what happens?
Rain delay.
40-minute rain delay.
Dude,
we did get something interesting here. We got a bunch of time filler unscripted promos. And the ones that you would expect to do great did great. The ones that you're like, yeah, they're not that great at promos did not do so great.
Yeah, yeah.
You had Shane McMahon, Bobby Lashley, MVP, Drew McIntyre, The New Day, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, Bianca Belair, and Seth Rollins. I was going to say Seth Rogen, but Seth Rogen was not there.
How about this rain?
How about this rain? You had Titus and Hogan in the oddest of couple pairings.
Oh, boy.
the pirate outfits made my night.
Yes. I mean, do. Hogan coming so out absurd. In a red and yellow pirate outfit. Ooh, so good.
I mean, now I just want a series where Hogan dresses up as different. Like, I want him to be a Dracula. Can you imagine Hulk Hogan as a Dracula and not Gary Coleman? As you said during the watch along,
that is my flub. I wanted to say Gary Oldman.
Gary Coleman was a phenomenal Dracula, and I'm like, yeah, he was. And I, in my head, I heard Gary Oldman, and then I was like, wait a minute, did he say Gary Coleman? I think the Titus and Hogan thing was hysterical. Show began with the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley defeated Drew McIntyre to retain the title in 18 minutes and 21 seconds. I thought this was a really good match. I enjoyed everything about this. How about you?
I loved it. It was a good show opener. Very solid, solid, solid show opener. I was pleasantly surprised that after 18 minutes, Bobby Lashley wins with the Hurt Lock.
Yeah.
Drew, he didn't tap.
He did not tap. But you know what? Fussily. You know what they could have done to kind of, like, I feel like everything they did with Bobby Lashley and Drew, it didn't mean anything with this ending. Like, this was the worst ending. And by the way, I enjoyed the match. I thought these guys looked great. They worked hard. They looked like main eventers. I enjoyed the match top to bottom. However, my big issue was that if you were going to keep Bobby Lashley, because you were saying, you know, right before the show, Drew McIntyre holding that title in front of the crowd, that's the WrestleMania shot that you got stolen. You know, it got stolen from him last year. So everything was pointing in that direction. If you're going to have Bobby Lashley retain, why wouldn't you have him win the title at WrestleMania? Or why did you have to do it the way you did it? And why'd you break up the Hurt Business, which we'll get into Monday night, you know, for Monday.
It's very, very strange, yeah.
But it was still a good main event, world title match. Natalya and Tamina won the tag team turmoil match 14-7. Whatever. The second half of this was pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cesaro defeated Seth Rollins. This was a sleeper. This was a really good match, but I feel like it's not getting any buzz. Cesaro swung Seth 23 times, according to commentary. It was actually 18. To break the record of whatever it was 18 or 20 or whatever it was. So you broke that swing record. AJ Styles and Omos defeated Kofi and Xavier to win the Raw Tag Team Championship in 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Omos was set to be the star here and got a major baby face pop when he got that hot tag. So there's something interesting about him. People are into him.
People love big dudes.
Dude, when things are going poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Vince will always rely on giants.
Yes. Yes, 100%. You think he's getting he's going to get the rub?
Who?
Almost.
Oh, eventually, yeah. Yeah. 100%. Hey, I mean, he looks really freaking good.
Also, with AJ winning the tag belts, he's a Grand Slam champion.
He officially is a Grand Slam champion, which is a positive for him. He could add another accolade to his line of accolades. Let's see. Steel cage match. Braun Strowman defeated Shane McMahon 11 minutes and 25 seconds. He threw Shane off the top. And then he dedicated this to all the stupid boys and girls, right? Is that what he said?
I think so.
I dedicate this win to all the idiots. And he just held a mic out and everybody cheered like dummies.
This one's for all my dumbasses out there. it's so weird. I don't make it fun of it because it's a little cringy, but it's so funny.
I'm not making fun of people that are not as bright as others, but this was so dumb. I mean, like, obviously it's for kids, right?
Yeah, but it's like, for kids.
But like, now, if I'm a kid, I'm going to be like, maybe I am stupid. Maybe I am a big dummy. Maybe that is true, you know? I don't know. I think that whole stupid thing. You know what would have been better? I was talking to someone from there, and they told me that the original suggestion was to do, like, not so much like a I'm smarter than you thing, like your grades are poor and I have better grades, but it was going to be more like an elitist, like a Northeastern elitist intelligence. Like Shane could be like, I went to BU. Uh-huh. You went to a community college in Tennessee or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
or you went to this college, this school, like I went to an Ivy League. I grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut. I had the best education possible. That's why I'm who I am, and you are who you are.
Right,
like,
right.
That, but instead, they're like, well, we can't do that. That's elitism. That's, you know, that's class warfare. We can't do that. That's politically charged.
Come on,
you
Pat.
Know. But come on, let's just call the kids idiots. Let's do that. You had terrible grades in third grade. Who cares? They're both millionaires, by the way. Braun Strowman, not a poor man and not a dumb guy. You can't be that dumb and get this far in life.
Imagine, like I was telling my wife about this. I was like, we spent the entire weekend watching millionaires play fight, basically.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's so funny when you think about it. Wrestling is so bananas when you think about it. And I'm still giggling on the inside with if Braun Strowman came out and was like, let me tell you something. This one's for the morons out there. This one's for the dumbasses. I hear he's like the voice of the voiceless in that regard. He's like the CM Punk of dumb people.
Yeah.
Just gutting these promos, trying to lift up the dumb people.
Yeah, it was his pipe bomb.
And you are an idiot, and you're an idiot, and you're an idiot. You're all idiots along with me.
And everybody cheers. Yeah. And then, you know like what? He jumps in a crowd and he crowd surfs. All the children just hold him up.
All the dummies. It's
all the dummies.
It's like
in
Idiocracy.
Braun's
like President Camacho from Idiocracy. You know? We're like, he's just everybody's just dumb.
I don't know, man. Steve Austin shows up on the screen finally to let us know that WrestleMania 30 will be in 2022. Is going to be held at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Is Steve Austin the host?
That's what they kind of emphasized, right? That he was basically like, come on and join me next year, everybody. Dummies too. No problem.
You know, by the way, people, if you did not watch the watch along, there was a moment of brilliance that we discovered on night one by accident. And that's us role playing Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about Dragon Ball Z and his love for anime. it turned into like the amount, all the stuff that we did last week, I should say, I did not get any feedback. To the level that I got feedback on that skit.
Oh, so, really? Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I'm happy
Vegeta,
about that.
Vegeta, Piccolo, Yamcha.
Oh, my God.
Krillin loves Yamcha.
Krillin.
Gotenks. Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. By the way, love this match. Me personally, this guy here. This guy loved this match. Loved Bad Bunny. And then I know how you felt about it. You know, everybody... Not everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but there were a lot of people poo-pooing us over the last, I don't know, 2 months talking about Bad Bunny and how we were very positive about Bad Bunny. Like, tremendously positive. We were very supportive of this man's entrance into pro wrestling. And people are like, this is ridiculous, Bad Bunny, what the hell? You know, Rich and I were told that he was training, like, every freaking day since January, and he was, like, very committed, so I was like, you know what? It can't be that bad. You could tell he's not an athletic guy, right? Mm. He's not a super athletic guy. But for a non-athletic guy, this guy did a lot of athleticism.
Yeah, dude. Like, and you know, his training showed. Again, we were very supportive of Bad Bunny. But I also think, like, I also feel like there's a certain demographic of wrestling fan that had no idea who this guy was and just listened to, like, the first three Metallica albums over and over again.
Yeah.
And, like, that's their musical sensibility. You know what I mean? This dude is, like, arguably one of the biggest recording artists on the planet, you know? And the fact that he trained so hard to have a decent match was pretty excellent, man. I feel like with the match placement, maybe the folks in the back didn't think it was going to be as good as it was, to be honest.
Tim Anger in the chat room put a visual in my head. Austin and Hogan dressed up like cowboys for WrestleMania.
Oh, so good.
Can Hogan be the host every WrestleMania and he dresses up as the theme every year? I'm that a cowboy. I'm a pirate. I'm a zombie. I'm a ghoul.
Was that your Hogan impression?
That was my Austin. But Austin's gonna be dressed up too.
You think so? Perfect. I think he's gonna. It would be great if he just came out like classic Stone Cold with the leather vest
and, with the underwear.
and jorts.
The yeah. jorts.
And the blue jean, the blue jean
if
shorts.
Were, if Austin were to have a match again, would he wrestle in the jorts or would he wrestle with the underwear?
Got to go underwear, man. If you're going to be Stone Cold, you have to just, you have to be Stone Cold.
You think he ever dresses up like that at home just for the fuck of it?
He puts his, like, the old gear on with yeah. the
he goes to his wife, he's like, check that. It out, and he goes like this, you know, he gets on top of something, just does it. I would do it.
I imagine there may be some level of that, like, if he's going through stuff, like, in a box or a trunk, and he's like, oh, still fits, still got it. And then he'll do some stuff in the mirror and have his yeah. wife throwing beers, you know.
You know, I dress up like Enchante regularly, but it has nothing to do with wrestling. I just do it because it's like a Tuesday.
That's how you do
when my wife comes home. Yeah, like, oh, pass me the butter.
you pass out after every item you put in your car.
Every aisle, dude. Every aisle.
Every
oh,
aisle.
Is this the dog food aisle? Oh, and I just pass out right on the floor.
Oh, so much cereal. Oh.
So much cereal. Bianca Belair defeated Sasha Banks to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. 17 minutes, 15 seconds. This match was awesome. Awesome. You said yep. something on night one, okay? And mm-hmm. it didn't click with me until I rewatched okay. it the next day. This was in every shape of the positive aspect of this. Not in a negative, yes. in the positive. This was Flair Luger.
Yeah, straight up. Like
this was awesome.
Yeah, it was like it's the because we were talking about like what would you equate this to, you know? And immediately it was like Bianca Belair is such an athlete, you know, like never mind, like every wrestler is an athlete, right? But then there's also a difference between like, yeah, she's like an athlete, like an Olympian, you know what I mean? Like that level of athleticism. And then Sasha Banks is an athlete in another regard, that she's a consummate professional wrestler. Right.
Yeah.
And I think she led Bianca to an amazing match.
I think so, too.
I wonder who put that together.
I think it was the agents.
Okay.
Whoever the agent
the hair
was.
Whip. That hair whip was so gnarly, dude.
So good. So good. You know what? Or I could say Sting Flair. You know, like it was a Sasha bumped like crazy. She did unbelievable. She made Bianca look like a billion bucks. Really, for a virtually an unknown, you know what I mean? Like, not to yeah. us. She's known to all of us. But to a mainstream wrestling crowd, you really don't have a lot of Bianca Belair exposure, especially with the fact that she has yet to wrestle in front of a live crowd on the main roster, you know, as far as her main push goes. Mm-hmm. She's really not... She didn't have time to build this in front of a crowd. She was able to do it with virtually nothing, just going based on what she feels. I really hope she's successful in this. I very much enjoyed this. This was a stellar main event, and no complaints from most people. 99% of people, no complaints. So I very much yeah. enjoyed night one, even with all the silliness. Fine. Night two opens up. Ashlyn Kraft performed America the Beautiful. They showed a shot of the roster standing on the stage from last night. Titus and Hogan walk out to the stage dressed as pirates. Hogan got a mixed reaction with a lot of boos.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? I think Hogan's such a weird, such an interesting anomaly now, right? In like the landscape of the world and the landscape of professional wrestling, like people are more remembered for their fuck-ups at this point than
always.
They're, you know, and listen, Hogan did what he did. Whatever. I think people still have like a hard on for the guy. I'm not defending the guy at all, by the way,
yeah.
you know, but it's like, he's just going to be that polarizing guy now, you know, as opposed to like, oh, it's Hogan. The red and yellow is back. Like, no, yeah. like people just want to boo Hogan
yeah,
for good listen, or for bad. You know,
listen, a lot of people wanted to boo Hogan for a long time, right? They were booing Hogan. Yeah. People. It wasn't like this guy was America's sweetheart in the eyes of wrestlers, right? Wrestling fans. You know, the whole politicking stuff was a big part of his career. The conversation around it. I'm not necessarily, I don't know what he did or did not say because I wasn't there. But
right.
a lot of the shoot interviews over the last 30 years and a lot of the conversations around Hogan not wanting to put people over, all that stuff, obviously that plays a big part in this. And Hogan Even when he came back as a babyface at WWE in 2002, 2003, that whole run when he, you know, he went back to the red and yellow, people were still like, oh, Hogan's in the business for himself. Listen, there's no defending the language he used on that tape.
Right.
But, you know, we also have to remember it was like 10 years ago. I do believe people change. I do believe that. So I'm not, I don't know if he's changed. I don't know any of that because I don't know anything about his personal life, but, I am able for that 5 minutes to remove the person from the character. Now, I can't do that all the time with everybody, but with him, I kind of can, you know, in this scenario.
Well, that's going to haunt. It's nuts how that is going to haunt him for the rest of his life. Days.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because like, and we'll see it like on, again, I'm not excusing the guy, but we'll see it on like our social chatter where it's like, you know, we'll post something about Hogan and then everybody will comment on like, oh, Hogan this, Hogan that, great, 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 great. And then one or two people will comment like, F this guy, I hate him for what he did, you know, and that's never going to go away.
Yeah, it's interesting. TJ Wilson produced the main event, women's match.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a weird thing. It's a really weird conversation around Hogan. And I feel like you are totally entitled to the way you feel. You have all the right to feel that way. Nobody's telling anybody not to feel a certain way. But I think for him, you know, WWE does a real big PR blitz to erase that. You know, it's strategic that Titus and him are doing it. You know, or hosting.
Yeah.
That's all strategic. So I don't know. Listen, man, if Titus is fine with it, Titus is fine with it. You know, I'm not, who am I to tell someone not to like someone or like someone? So they did the pirate thing, which was hysterical. By the way, Bailey night one, calling Michael Cole an idiot.
So good.
That was such a highlight for me. I don't know why it resonated so much. Like I rewound it like 4 or 5 times to just hear her go, oh, Michael, you idiot.
Oh, it's died. So good.
Died. And then she called Hogan an idiot, too, on night two.
That's also so good. Like, Bailey's gold, man.
All right. We got to talk about this match.
Okay. Go for it.
Randy Orton versus The Fiend. You had predicted they were just going to wrestle on top of worms.
I didn't expect much preferred, out of this.
I would have preferred that match. So let me just start off by saying this match was supposed to go longer than this.
Okay.
It was supposed to go about 11 and a half minutes from what I was told. So almost double this time. This was not the way it was supposed to end. It was changed at the last couple hours of the whole thing was changed. That's why it didn't make sense. The entrance was remarkable. Randy looked great in the white outfit.
Yeah.
The
cool.
Fiend's entrance was great. Alexa looked great. It was gnarly seeing her. Fiend had like an updated mask, and they told the story when he was coming down to the ring that he manifested his body to heal from all the burns.
Okay.
I don't know why this man didn't decide to do this. I don't know when it happened, and he suffered for months, but he chose to wait. He wanted to suffer to create the pain within him to beat Randy Orton. Did not work. Big dummy Fiend got distracted by Alexa's ooze coming out of her head. So Alexa pops out of the box. So it was a jack in a box. The match started with a jack in a box by the ring, and Alexa cranked the jack in a box where Bray came out and attacked Randy. Next thing we know, Alexa's now in the box. She pops out. She's gooing all over her head. I don't know what you would describe it. She's oozing black goo.
Yeah.
Fiend is fascinated by this, much like everybody else. And Randy hits him with an RKO, beats him. Fiend stands up, and then they disappear.
It's like, it was like remember Fifth Element? Another Gary Oldman reference. Another
Gary Coleman reference.
You know how like Gary Oldman's character in The Fifth Element had that like plastic thing on his head? And then when he would get like really stressed out, it would start to like gush like black ooze. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that.
Five minutes, man. I felt that, honestly, like that watching that match felt like so much longer than a 5 minute, 52 second match.
You know what I told someone? Somebody DM'd me. They're like, hey, for someone that didn't like some, because I tweeted something like I didn't like some, I forgot what it was. He's like, for someone that didn't like it, this was a while ago. This wasn't based on this watch along. For someone that didn't like the show, you really seem to enjoy it on the pay-per-view. I say this all the time. My reaction when we're doing a watch-along is not my actual feeling of the match, because I'm having fun. I'm having a drink. I'm watching the show with my best friends. I'm watching it with you guys. Like, we're all joking around. We're having a great time. I equate this to going to a mediocre dinner with great people around you, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's a great example that most people could relate to. You have a group of 5-6 people. You go out. You're having drinks. You're eating. You're hanging out. You're feeling good. You're having a great conversation. Your night's going to be great. However, the food, mediocre.
Yeah,
the next day, if someone asks you how your night went, you're going to say it was great. How was the food? It was okay. That's what my reaction is to a lot of this. Even if stuff like the Fiend thing, I really love that whole witchery going on. I fucking love that stuff.
Yeah, I really do.
And I know it's not wrestling, it's entertainment stuff, but I do enjoy it to an aspect. I don't enjoy how they're executing it, however.
Okay.
Like, I'm fine with a spooky dude. I'm fine with Bray being really gnarly and doing wacky stuff like Inferno matches. That's fine. It's just sometimes a 5-minute match for something like this doesn't work, and it didn't work here.
Yeah.
WWE Women's Tag Championship, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler defeat Tamina and Natty. What did you think of this? 14 minutes. This went long.
It was fine. I think I took a break during this. I think I got
When did you melt down?
Food.
At what
got
point?
Some food. I melted down at various parts of the night just because like it was just like a lot, and I get like watching it's so much LEDs and it kind of like burns my eyes out. I checked out completely during the Sheamus Riddle match. Like, I was like, whatever, you know.
That was a good match. I enjoyed that match.
It was all right. I think I got some food or heat up some food at that point and just like had to step away for like 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
The Kevin Owens Sammy match was a lot of fun. 9 minutes, 15 seconds. Logan Paul took that stunner at the end. That was great.
He took it good.
Yeah.
9:15 for this. Good match. You know, these guys can't have a bad match. It's impossible, but they just had a match.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Sheamus versus Riddle.
You checked out for this.
Fun. You know, I checked out completely.
So the beginning was weird. The ending really picked up. Riddle did a lot here. Sheamus defeated him. So, and we'll get into Riddle being portrayed as a dummy. He had that backstage segment with RVD. Was that night one or night two? Where RVD promoted his rolling paper with Kali.
I don't remember it. Like, it kind of, everything kind of got blurred into one big mush in my head. I remember also, like, the highlight of the Sheamus Riddle match was you yelling about how much you think the doves with the pirate hats are stupid.
Pirate hat was great. The dove, I was yelling about how stupid the doves are, and then I saw the one come out with the pirate hat, and I think it winked at me. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but I think it was talking to me.
It did wink.
It was like this. It was like, hey, Andrew, I know the show is not going to be that great, but don't worry. Look, I got a fucking pirate hat on.
Hey,
and that was it. And he flew away.
It's cool that your doves speak English directly to you.
Let me tell you, all the birds speak to me, and the birds are not real. I don't know if you know this. Birds are not real. They were put in the 1980s by the bourgeoisie to spy on all of us. The birds are spying. Ronald Reagan infiltrated this country with birds, with robotic birds.
This is your version of InfoWars?
This isn't. InfoWars.com. Andrew Zarian here. The birds were put in by the bourgeoisie.
That's a pretty good outro.
We got a reptilian coming on at the top of the hour. We're taking your calls. Infowars.com. We got a reptilian coming on, and we also have an alien live in the studio.
Oh, boy.
I'm moving to Austin. I'm going to go work with him. That's the plan. I'm just going to go totally bonkers in 2022. Next year, I'm going to lose my mind next year.
Are we going to end up moving to Texas because that's where all the podcasters are going?
I'm telling you right now, I'm not even kidding. This morning, Jess was showing me properties in Austin. So,
hey, listen, great. Great town for podcasting. Apparently, that's where
Justin Robert Young's there. Brian Brushwood is there. Tim Dillon, I believe, is moving down there. Joe Rogan's down there.
Yeah,
Alex Jones, InfoWars.com. All right, what else do we have?
We got the Nigerian drum fight. Apollo Crews beat Big E to win the Intercontinental Championship. 6 minutes and 49 seconds. So Dabakoto Babatunde showed up to help Apollo, right?
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder where they're going with this. And my question is the foreign heel sustainable right now? Because that's kind of what they're doing, right?
Is the foreign heel sustainable? Yeah, I think the foreign heel is always sustainable. I enjoy a foreign heel. I like a foreign babyface too. I think that's always been the thing about pro wrestling, where you, Antonio Rocca and Bruno, and even though if you're a heel or a babyface, you know, it doesn't really matter because it connects in a weird way to people. I don't mind it. When it's not done in an overly racist way, you know, a lot of people had a problem with the whole Nigerian gimmick, but I mean, Apollo is Nigerian.
Now Babatunde Dabakoto is known as Commander Aziz.
Commandeer Aziz, not Commander. We were wrong. It's Commandeer Aziz. He's also, I believe he's half Nigerian, so it kind of falls into it. I don't know, man. We'll see what happens with this. I thought the purpose of this match was weird. You know, it was essentially a no DQ match with drums and sticks. Gimmick match for the sake of a gimmick match. I don't know how that went over with everybody, though.
It was fine. It's just like, it's just kind of weird, you know, like whatever. It's not that it doesn't sit well with me. I feel like I'm like, where are they going with this? Is this I also can't believe like everybody's like aboard with that, you know, but Babatunde, he's Polish and Nigerian. So it kind of makes a little sense, I guess, like tangentially.
Yeah.
For him to help Apollo Crews. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can only imagine Vince really, really pitching this to both these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like saying like, this is going to work, etc.
Yeah. Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Women's Championship, 1330. Rhea Ripley, the new Raw Women's Champion. Rhea Ripley came out to a live version of her song, This Is My Brutality. Mm-hmm. One of the worst songs I've ever heard live.
I don't mind it.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It could, like, the studio version is way better.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
This was the equivalent of the DX band being as crappy as they were live.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember being so disappointed that they weren't that great live.
You know what disappointed me the most? How, like, much of a shithead the lead singer looked like?
Oh, the fake Zach De La Rocha?
Yeah, he's like, hey, you want to tell me what to do? No way, man. I was like, oh my God, this is like a 90s like Starburst commercial.
No way, Jose.
No way, man. I'm Gen X. I do whatever I want. So she came out.
Fun match.
It was a fun match. Really good match. Both worked really hard. It was a really good match. Enjoyed it. 1330. Well deserved by Rhea Ripley, new women's champion. Triple Threat main event Universal Championship. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman and Jey Uso defeated Edge and Daniel Bryan to retain the titles. 21-40. This match was really good.
Awesome.
Roman won by pinning both of them. He stacked both Edge and Daniel Bryan on top of each other and pinned both. It was very clear who the top guy is. I wanted to ask you this. What did you think of all the Jey Uso shindigs in the match?
Shindigs.
Shenanigans. He threw a good shindig. Yeah, after the show, man. He did a wine tasting.
Top to bottom, 21 minutes, 40 seconds. I really enjoyed this match. I think I enjoyed this match possibly the most. Besides between this and the Bianca Belair-Sasha match, I think, you know, really two strong main events. Edge and Daniel Bryan looked awesome. You know, like, it's funny how we picked everybody but Roman to win.
Yeah.
And just the way they did it, I don't think it hurts anybody. This does not hurt Daniel Bryan. This does not hurt Edge. But it's like the added emphasis to catapult Roman Reigns into that Brock Lesnar stratosphere. right? Yeah. Like, this is what they're doing. Because guess what? Brock Lesnar's not getting younger. Roman is in his early 30s. He's going to be around for quite some time. And at some point, he will be... Vince is playing chess right now, right? Mm-hmm. He is 10 moves ahead. He's not thinking about WrestleMania 38 or 39. He's thinking about WrestleMania 45, right? Who's going to headline WrestleMania 45?
So that is actually, it's really funny you say that, because I had a conversation last night around, yesterday afternoon, 6:30 around. And that was a conversation where, you know, WWE's, they're looking at the next 2-3 WrestleMania main events. They're not thinking about SummerSlam. I mean, obviously they are thinking about SummerSlam, but the way that Vince operates is, all right, fine. In his mind, he knows the next 5 main events for WrestleMania. Right. In his head, at least. And not saying that that is what's going to happen, but when he pictures it, he sees where it's going. And that's really been one of his main abilities that a lot of other promoters have never been able to have. I'm not, with that said, I mean, a lot of the booking that we're going to talk about for Raw was absolutely abysmal, but there are aspects to Vince knowing how to do a show. Listen, on paper, dude, and even watching this, all 4 major titles that are, by the way, which are very important, had stellar matches. Rhea Ripley, Asuka was a great match. Very much enjoyed it. The main event triple threat match was great. The world title match was great. The SmackDown women's title match was great. So you booked 4 really good main events. Now, if we're talking WrestleMania and one night, if you took out all the filler, we would be talking about how this was the greatest WrestleMania, one of the best WrestleManias. If you had those 4 matches that we listed, plus, fine, put in that wacky Fiend match, give it another couple minutes. You got 5 matches there. You do the Damian Priest nonsense. That gets over. And you do Sammy and Kevin Owens. And then you put another 2. I mean, you're not really complaining as much, right? You're not going to say, well, this was really bad. If you keep it at 5 hours and you do all of this, pretty good. However, you know, it led to some bad stuff last night. Overall, I enjoyed WrestleMania. It was fine that it was 2 hours. I prefer a one-night show instead of a 2-night show. We're going back to one night. I just don't want it to ever be 7-8 hours again. You don't need to do that.
Don't need to do it. I enjoy this dynamic. Who knows if it's next year it's going to be 1 or 2 nights. I feel like it's going to be one big night again, but they need to like scale it back, you know, so, like start the show at 7, end it at 11. Good Done. Night. See you later. That's awesome.
So some notes from WrestleMania. Randy Orton is the longest tenured on the show. He has 17 WrestleManias. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. Was right. Notable also, no Triple H, Goldberg, John Cena, Charlotte, and Becky. Also no Ronda, right? No Ronda.
No Rock.
No Rock. I mean, no there Austin. Was no Undertaker.
No Undertaker. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Sasha Banks has the new streak of WrestleMania. She's 0-6. She has never won at WrestleMania, Sasha.
Wow.
Roman Reigns is 6-2, and WWE listed both nights as sellouts.
Great.
Raw after Mania fallout. Now, I got to tell you, this show sucked. I did not like 90% of this show. It was abysmal. I don't know. I'm going to take you off camera because I don't know how you feel about this. I want to know how you feel. But I felt for a Raw after WrestleMania, right? You had a good WrestleMania. It was what it was. Now you have a moment with all these eyeballs tuning in to really do something different. Say, guys, it's not the same. It's not business as usual. WrestleMania's over. It's the new cycle now. New programs, new everything. And what did they do? A lot of the same old. It was rewritten very late. From the notes that I had, there was a new announced team, which we broke the story, Rich. What did you think of the new team?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. You know, I'm having trouble pronouncing
Adnan Verk.
Yeah, Adnan Verk. He honestly kind of reminds me of Joey Styles in his delivery.
You know what? I didn't think his delivery was bad. I think the fact that he doesn't really know wrestling is bad.
Yeah.
He called, I think, like 2 moves. He did a lot of the typical WWE tropes of, man, right in the midsection, what a big fall. He's up and now he's down onto the outside. You know, he did all those WWE-isms that you hear on commentary.
Doing the bends.
Yeah. Working the leg, working this. One, two, almost a pin. No, he doesn't have him. One, two, he's got him. No, he doesn't. He was okay. So the team is Corey Graves, him, and Byron for SmackDown now, or for Raw. SmackDown, we don't know what the team is going to be. I'm sure it's going to be Michael Cole and maybe Samoa Joe, which I do hope it's Samoa Joe. I think that's a phenomenal team to put together.
Yeah, or maybe I keep thinking like Samoa Joe is going to have that ring return, but I don't know, man. Like, they seem to like him on commentary and doing the interviews and all that stuff.
Yeah, they're hyping the next pay-per-view, which is called WrestleMania Backlash, not Backlash. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Money in the Bank is being moved to June, I'm sure. I haven't confirmed, but I'm assuming. And this is now WrestleMania Backlash to kind of get that last drop out of that WrestleMania name again. The show started off with a weird backstage moment with Lashley and Riddle. Where Riddle's like, hey, bro, want to challenge me for the... Can I fight you for that title, man?
Come on, dude.
He's like, and Lashley's like, no, I'm not giving you a title shot. And he's like, but you said it. He's like, you know what? I'll just kick your ass. And that's exactly what he did. He ragdolled him for an entire match. Riddle looked like a fool. Lashley took his stupid scooter and threw it away. He beat the crap out of Riddle. For the entirety of the match. Lashley looked like $1 million, but, you know, Riddle looked like shit.
I got a question for you. What would you have done if, after that segment, Braun shows up and he's like, hey, Riddle, I'm putting together a team of dummies. Do you want to be on my team of dummies? And he's like, yeah, dude, whatever you want.
Who else is on that team? So far,
it's just Riddle and Braun Strowman. Maybe, and like, it's so dumb, maybe they get one of the refs, you know? Like, he just
the really incompetent one, right? The one that screws up all the finishes. We could get him on. We could get that guy on. Doing. Yeah.
Who else would fit into like the dummy squad?
By the way, Christopher in our chat room, $5. Verk seemed out of place as play by play. He did seem out of place, but you know what? First night. Who else becomes a team dummy, dude?
I'm putting together a team of dummies and slow pokes.
Nitwits.
Riddle, you strike me as a dummy. Come on.
Like dumbs and nitwits.
He's putting together like his like A-team and Braun's like Hannibal.
Bird brains.
Nitwits. Old school terms for dummies.
Oh man, I love it. I love it. I think that's the best thing ever. I gotta get myself together here while I try to find the notes again. Viking Raiders are back.
Great.
They returned, smushed Cedric and Shelton. So they look like a not so great. So Viking Raiders back. Oh, great. That's cool. Gonna heat up the tag division. Cool. Here comes Charlotte Flair with a new promo and new attitude. What did you think of her?
Great. You know, like I kind of, and I mean this in no offensive way possible, but I'm going to say it. I want to know, I couldn't stop staring at her face. I want to know what's going on there. Like what's happening?
She looked very different.
She's been looking different. Like we were watching it yesterday and I was like, this is a far cry from like what she looked like in NXT, you know? So like I'm kind of like very
curious. She's glammed. She got glammed.
You think that's it? You
think that's it?
That's the whole thing. Like you get a lot of work done on your face, right?
Tons, dude. Look, I can't look. I'm gonna move I'm gonna try to lift my eyebrows. You ready?
Okay, dude. Oh yeah, it's all the Botox. Man.
I can't do it. It's all the Botox. Somebody asked me recently if I got any Botox because my skin looks so tight. I'm like, no, dude, look, no Botox yet.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going to Botox the crap out of my face when it's time. I want to look like Vince.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I want to be like, I want to look like that guy. Do whatever, however many you're putting in, that's what I want. I want to be full. I want the doctor to take the needle, put it in my head, and be like, nah, dude, you're full. I can't do anything.
You're going
to
do the lips, too?
Big lips. Big, big lips. I want to look like a very wealthy housewife from Beverly Hills. That's my goal.
I want you to get just Botox in weird places on your face, like like under your eyes. Like,
what if I do like a two-face thing? I just do one side.
Oh my god! You'd,
I got like a droopy
don't
face.
Do the Botox.
Don't oh, do I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, dude. I'm going to do it.
I did Charlotte, like the return of Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, great promo. A very strong promo. Yeah. She has, you know, obviously they're trying something different with her. It won't be the last time that we see her because we got a rematch of Rhea Ripley and Asuka. Went to a no contest when Charlotte interfered. So Charlotte attacks. She's already putting herself in that main event picture.
I'm cool with that. I don't think it's a burial of Rhea Ripley. A lot of people online were saying like, oh, great. Now Charlotte's back. She's going to bury Rhea Ripley. I think friend to you in real life, Bully Ray yesterday put out a tweet where, you know, Charlotte's promo had that shoot element where she called herself the opportunity, right?
Interesting,
like,
right?
Anybody who faces her, like, she's the opportunity. And you know what? It's true. At this point, like, future Hall of Famer, crazy record in terms of wrestling. She's phenomenal in the ring. She's phenomenal on the mic. She's got presence. She looks like a star, you know? Where do you see – how do you book Charlotte Flair going forward, Andrew?
I have the answer there, but I want to thank Bachelor 3000, $4.99 right here. Got to get Tozawa on the dummy squad, he said. You know what? The Simpleton Club, Brandon says in our chat room.
Oh, boy.
The Simpleton Club. So I like that a lot. Half-wits, nitwits, dummies, and dum-dums.
Putting together a team.
I think for Charlotte, I think, you know, for her, you don't really need to... She doesn't need a lot of tweaking, in my opinion. I think the character and the present, they built her so well from the beginning to now, right? Like, they told you that she's better than everybody. And you know what? She's really great. She's really, really great. So,
yeah.
I don't know what if tweaking it is necessary, but I'm hopeful to see what they do with her. I think I'm a big fan of hers.
Oh, me too, man. Like, she's tremendous all around. Like, all around amazing performer. I don't understand the heat that she gets from the fans online. I don't understand why people are so butthurt by her presence.
I think it's the same thing that Sasha gets on a very opposite way. It's very similar. I think when you have a character like her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's so believable in it, where you no longer can understand where it's the person and the character, and they're a heel. It starts affecting people. They start believing that they dislike this person because that is really who they are, rather than disliking the character because they're presenting a bad person. You know, that's the big problem here. They're presenting a narcissist, overly confident, loudmouth that is an opportunist, like you said, to take what she wants. When you have that in there, and she's also a Flair, and you know, Rick is the father, and she's been given the title so many times, or given the opportunity for the title, people start seeing that as, well, no, that's really her, which is great because that's the whole point of this. You're supposed to dislike her.
Well, her character is the gatekeeper.
And that's great. Right? She should be.
Yeah.
She should be, because you know what? If there was no Charlotte and there was no Sasha, I'm going to tell you this women's division, this women's roster would not be what it is today. They are the reason why it worked. I mean, the God's honest truth. Her, Sasha, Bailey, Becky. Charlotte, you know, they were the core for everything else that they've done. Yeah, everything absolutely. Else. I mean, you know what? I'm going to put Paige in there too. Paige is one of those also. If there was none of those, there would be no Asuka. There would be nobody. I mean, that There would be no Rhea Ripley. There would be no Asuka. No Bianca Belair. No Toni Storm. And I really believe that. I think the reason it got over, because these four, between themselves, said, listen, we're going to change this business. Look, absolutely, I'm getting goosebumps by just talking about it. I swear to God, I'm not even exaggerating. They changed women's wrestling, where I look forward to these matches, and I wouldn't. I wasn't a tremendous fan of the American style of women's wrestling, because we didn't have matches like this. And, you know, Bayley and Beck and Sasha changed that for a lot of people. And I think we're continuing this. You know, obviously there's bad with the good. Now, I'm not saying the whole women's division is like this, but you know what? I'm still, you see this? My voice is still gone. Unbelievable. But you could really do something with this. And those four should get all the credit. Those five should get all the credit for this. I'm cool with it. Whatever. We'll see what happens. Then they did something bonkers, right? They had the Miz and Morrison come out with Maryse for a segment. And they're showing you like a tension between the two, Miz and Morrison, like teasing a possible breakup. Because why would you keep teams together in this company?
Right.
They ended up beating Damian Priest in a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Priest was there to be made, right? That was the whole point of doing this whole Bad Bunny thing, to help him get made by Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's not going to be there. So now Damian Priest is the guy in that role. He gets beat 2-on-1 in a handicap match. Again, reverse booking.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care for this.
Well, he also still looks strong, and he has such a big presence, you know, like you could tell that Vince likes the guy, and they need him. They need like a big dude like that, a big dude who can move and talk. Like, that's pretty tremendous. And again, if let's say Damian Priest puts on like that bulk, then Vince is going to look at him and go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm liking what I see. Papa like. Or whatever he says to his talent.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming he says Papa like all the time.
Papa like. No, but by the way, Vince is on his big man kick again.
Yeah.
Look at all the people that are debuting. Look at all the people that are showing up. You know, this is what he does. When things get a little rough, what does he do? He wants the biggest of the big to be in matches and to be all over that card. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing all these giants show up all of a sudden, which, whatever, we'll see what happens.
They got a big roster.
Big roster. About it. Alexa Bliss has a new puppet named Lily. Terrifying. Right. All right. I guess she's now in control. She pretty much cut a promo saying that she was this naive little girl, and she thought she needed the monster to continue in life. And now she realizes that she's the monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She doesn't need the Fiend or Bray. So now we have a bizarro demonic battle between Bray and Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors that there's going to be a higher power, possibly.
Oh, boy.
Dude, just make it Aleister Black.
Yeah, straight up.
Why not?
That guy was missing. That guy could have done something somewhere.
He could have been bleeding black goo out of his head.
It would be. I wouldn't mind seeing Alexa team with Aleister Black. There's room for another spooky guy.
There is room for another spooky guy. Let's see. Yeah. Firefly Funhouse return, totally babyface Bray. The witch called Alexa a bitch. I don't know if you saw that. Whatever. It made no sense, and I have no idea what to make of it. We'll see what happens. Main event time. Orton versus Braun versus Drew for a shot at the title. Okay. Drew won, right?
Yeah.
And I was watching this and I was like, okay, what's going to happen now, right? Something's going to happen. Someone's going to show up. This is normally when they leave this, because the show ended a little early. I was like, this is what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And what happens? Mason T-Bar attacked Drew while MVP watches and gives them like the nod. Why?
Are they the hurt business now? Are they in the hurt business?
Oh, I am the hurt. I am hurt from this.
You're hurt.
I am the hurt business.
You're in the butt hurt business.
I'm in the butt hurt business. This sucked.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, okay. So, if anything, you would have thought that Baron Corbin shows up again, maybe, right? But I, I do like how MVP is getting portrayed as the mastermind. It's very weird that they took Cedric and Shelton away from that group. I feel like that made no sense. But if it's a way, it still doesn't make too much sense. But if it's a way for guys to show up and work for MVP, that makes it a little easier to digest, right? Like this week he got Mace and T-Bar to attack Drew. Or yeah. He signaled it and was okay with it, right? Maybe next week it's going to be somebody else, or the week after that it's going to be somebody else. And then MVP has like his stable of like no good Knicks, you know?
Yeah. I, dude, why did you take Shelton and Cedric out of there? Now you put in Cyrax from fucking Mortal Kombat to be in the Hurt Business. You had an evolution type stable that was working. Now you've injected Mortal Kombat characters as the strong arm to be some bizarro shield.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know what? Really, that really, and I'm, have you ever heard me be this negative?
No.
About Monday Night Raw, even when it's bad. Like this about the product. It bothered me that this is your Raw after Mania. You should be burning the candle quicker. You should do everything that you can, everything in the kitchen sink to make me like this. Because I'm now not invested in this. Mm. If I'm a casual viewer, right, and I watch WrestleMania, right? Forget about us again. You know what I did? I watched this and I said, my God, I watched 3 hours of this and they did nothing. They gave me nothing. They did nothing. It's the same repeat stuff all over again with no big surprises. It sucked. Why am I going to watch Raw again? Now, the only hope here is that SmackDown is the main show now, right? That's the hope.
Yeah. It's got Roman on it, right?
And they do something interesting here with SmackDown.
You got Edge, you got Daniel Bryan. You have like SmackDown is, I think SmackDown is more of what we want to see. And SmackDown has been pretty enjoyable for the last few months. You know, like I'm not going to lie. Like SmackDown it's a nice quick 2 hours. I just think like Raw is just like a weird thing right now, right? For the Raw after Mania to be this disappointing, it's bizarre, right?
I watched all 3 hours in one sitting.
Good Lord.
Last night. Because normally what I do, like I get home a little late, so I'll rewind it and I'll like fast forward a little bit, and then I'll rewatch it like when I'm working on Tuesday. I watched all of it. I'm like, my God, it's 11 o'clock. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I could have watched three episodes of the Gilmore Girls.
Hey, I know you're a big Gilmore Girls, Mark.
Love the Gilmore Girls. I want to go to Luke Steiner. That's what I want. So I don't know, man. It was not good. We'll see what happens next week with this, but my God, Jesus, why?
Yeah. Hey, listen, it happens, right? Like I'm not going to waste my time being upset about Monday Night Raw, because you kind of see the writing on the wall coming from like a mile away, you know? Yeah. And plus, like, I think, you know what? I think it was a letdown just compared to like what a nonstop week WWE had. You know, like they were kind of firing on all cylinders this week from the two NXT shows, which are awesome. WrestleMania was pretty good. I really enjoyed it, you know, and then the Hall of Fame was dopey and fun and all that stuff. Right. And then they delivered like a dud last night. Like it was like a dud,
a real dud. I mean, definition of a dud, right? Not malice, not offensive, not heinous, just a dud. It was a dud.
It's fine.
It was another show.
Also, Charlotte's promo was probably the highlight of Raw.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. Q&A time, guys. You want to do some questions? Submit your questions in the chat room. We will do our best to answer them. While we're waiting for the questions to compile, I want to give a little shout out to Rich. Rich has a podcast. If you guys don't know, it's called Behind the Counter 2.0. Why is it 2.0? Because it's the return of Behind the Counter, where Rich interviews comic book illustrators, writers, all things comic books. He does this every week, drops on Saturday mornings. You can catch it on gfkeynetwork.com. You could also catch it on his YouTube page, BTC Rich. BTC Rich X? What is it?
BTC Rich X, yes.
BTC Rich X on YouTube. You can search Behind the Counter and find him over there. Also, I want to thank our sponsor for today, and that's Canvas Theory. If you are a fan of pro wrestling apparel, without it being so in your face, like a shirt that says Gallows and Anderson, right? Sometimes you don't want to wear a wrestling shirt. Sometimes you want to be just a little bit. Canvas Theory has a great lineup of snapback hats. Some are inspired by Japanese wrestling, some lucha wrestling, and some American wrestling, which is really cool. And they have a great offer. If you put in MATMEN at checkout, you get 10% off your first order, which is really cool. CanvasTheory.com. You could go support them over there. Also, follow us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Check us out. We're also on the F4W page. We're part of the Wrestling Observer community, the Wrestling Observer family, the F4W empire, I should say. Head on over to WrestlingObserver.com and check out all the stuff that we do there and everything else that they do over there. Brian does like 85,000 shows, and Dave Meltzer is writing the Odyssey on a weekly basis.
That is true. I mean,
the Observer is the length of the Odyssey at this point every week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to questions. Anything?
All right. Yeah, we got Tim Anger. What's up, Tim? Big supporter of the show. Thanks for everything. Will WrestleMania always be a two-night deal moving forward?
As Austin would say, it's one night. It's going back to one night next year.
Large 23 asks, have you guys seen the Austin Jericho interview? Yeah, it was awesome.
I have not yet. I'm going to watch it right now as after we're done with the show. Is it long?
It's like two plus hours.
It's not long. It's long.
It's long. It's 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Is it really?
It's very long. Wow. It was a lot of fun because they talk about everything. The questions are a little soft, which is fine, but it's a really good conversation between two buddies. And it's a really nice retrospective on Jericho's career, you know, and they talk about a lot of stuff. And it was very good. It was very enlightening. Some stuff I didn't know about, you know, if you're a fan. I think even if you're a new fan of wrestling, this is a pretty cool, like, jumpstart to get you into it, you know.
Cool.
Great storytelling.
Yeah.
Is Bob Rowe asks, is Rich up for the Mortal Kombat movie? I am. I can't wait.
You're excited for it?
Oh, dude, yeah, I love Mortal Kombat.
Okay, cool.
Alexander asks, who takes the belt off of Roman and why?
I would say it has to be Edge, right? Because you still got to do that match. And you still got Lesnar in the mix. You know, you got Lesnar that could possibly go there. You got a lot going on. What do you think? Who do you think takes it?
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him hang on to that belt for dear life for like the next 6 months, you know, or old school style, like have him hold that belt until next year's WrestleMania or SummerSlam. Right. Edge for sure. I want to say, like, you know, if they really want to shake things up, a returning Finn Balor, you know, like if Finn Balor goes back to the main roster, that'd be awesome. Edge, Daniel Bryan. There's a lot of contenders on SmackDown, I think.
Yeah.
Big E.
P1 in our chat says The Rock at WrestleMania in Hollywood. Yeah, but I mean, that's 2 years away, right? Do you want to wait 2 years to do something with The Rock? I think you're running out of time there with him. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Plus, he's got his own things going on. Let's see. Christopher asks, do you think the shift to a new facility and the pandemic played a factor in the dud that was Monday Night Raw?
I would say definitely not having the crowd after seeing what we saw, you know, for two nights with a crowd there and how the wrestlers were just so motivated. The guys and the girls were so motivated. Like, mm-hmm. I always look at their feet as a way to tell how like they're feeling or how they're going to work. And their placement was great. They were so motivated. Mm-hmm. They everybody wanted to do something big. They were doing moves that you don't normally see because there's no live crowd. And then we went back to just another empty building. Yeah, I think that played a big part. I think being in a new building played a big part. I think the fact that, you know, these guys have gone hard for a long time, and this was their big send-off, you know, the return of a live crowd, and now you kind of sucked that momentum out and went back into an empty building.
Yeah.
Which it is interesting why they're not doing like co-mingling the LCD screens and some sort of crowd. You had suggested that they should do something like NXT, and I agree with you. I think they should.
It works so well for NXT. Like, why not do it for Monday Night Raw? You know, like, and but you know what? I'm going to give WrestleMania a little extra points just because they had a crowd.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. You know, I if I'm going to predict something, I'm going to say, not because I know anything, just knowing how they think, they all saw last night's show and said, oh, crap, we need to now come up with an excuse why this was really bad. And the excuse is going to be there was no live crowd, rather than saying what we planned was terrible. I'm telling you right now, because that has always been the blame that I'm hearing, that it's not. And I get it, right? Because you had to slow things down this year tremendously. Yeah. You had to slow it down tremendously because you don't want the carrot being dangled in front of you is a positive and a negative. And I think for WWE, that carrot of, well, maybe we could open up in a month, over and over again, has put them in a state of arrested development with storytelling, where the Bluth family now is running the show. And they're totally incompetent. You know what? The Bluth family is a good representation of the McMahons.
There's always money in the banana stand.
There's always money in the banana stand. You think Vince ever says that? He goes, Shane, there's always money in the turnbuckles. And he's just stuffing the turnbuckles with hundreds, but like really old hundreds from like before they redid the $100 bill. It's like 1991 hundreds.
I do like your analogy that the McMahons are the Bluths now.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that said, I know that that's going to be the blame. So the only positive I could think of is that this will maybe accelerate having live crowd there. Because, by the way, I don't know why they don't go to some sort of controlled crowd now, Rich. I really don't.
Well, Harry in the chat room brought up a really good point.
Horny Harry?
Horny Harry's back.
Oh, and hornier than ever.
Hornier than ever. He's unstoppable. Harry Terjadian. I love you, Harry. Vince loves being able to control crowd reactions with sound effects. He creams his jeans being able to pick who gets cheered and booed. Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. That is the most astute statement on why they're keeping it status quo as far as like the LEDs and all that stuff.
By the way, you know what Vince McMahon's favorite jeans are?
Go what?
Black Levi 505s.
Oh, you think so? Like straight leg?
Straight leg from like the early 90s, late 80s, Levi 505s.
Oh, tapered.
Tapered. Like tapered. Like really big on the thighs, really tapered on the bottom. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. All right. What else do we have? What other questions?
We got one more question. Andrew.
Yes.
Will you eat your shirt if WrestleMania is two nights next year?
Tim Anger, I will eat my shirt if WrestleMania is two nights next year.
I will.
You know what I will do? I swear to God, Tim, this is what I'm going to do. And let's remember this: 12:10 p.m. on the East Coast, while we're recording this. If WrestleMania is two nights, I will shred a shirt and put it in my cereal and eat it. All right. I will do that.
I still want you to go for the Mo haircut. Like I want you to take that bet.
Wise guy, eh?
Your pomp was looking very good this weekend.
Hold on, I could pomp it up. There you go.
I don't think I ever saw your hair as high as it was.
Have it like this.
Oh wow, that's like a Conan O'Brien level of high pomp.
There is a balance with having a pomp that's impressive and a pomp that's ridiculous. It's like this much.
Yeah, you don't want a pompous pomp.
I don't want a pompous pomp, no. You should shave your eyebrows like Prosser, like John Prosser says, Bob Rowe. Front Page Tech.
Would it be your nightmare if you lost that bet and not only did you have to get like a Mo haircut, that you had to get your eyebrows like thinned and threaded?
Can I tell you, Jess threatens me with this regularly. I'm not even, it's almost on like an abusive level where she will threaten me and tell me like, if I say something like a little messed up to her, she's like, don't worry. It's like, don't worry. I'm going to shave your fucking eyebrows. That's what I'm going to do. She goes, oh, you want to say that to me? I'm going to shave your eyebrows. That is her threat. She's been threatening me with shaving my eyebrows for 16 years. So one day I'm going to set her over the edge and she's just going to freaking just shave one off.
I feel like you would look like a completely different person if you had no eyebrows.
Dude, I would look like a Simpsons character in the institution. That's what I would look like. I would look like an institutionalized Simpsons character.
You'd look like the Michael Jackson.
And Bob is right. He says it's eyebrow, not eyebrows.
No, no, it's eyebrows, baby. That's how we eyebrow. Say it.
Eyebrow. What else? Anything else other than shaving my eyebrows?
I think that's it. Do you think anybody's real quick before we go? Do you think anybody's coming up on Thursday?
Thursday? You mean Friday?
I mean Friday. Sorry.
I was like, wait a minute. Is there a pay per view? I don't know. I have no idea. I think they're probably going to do more on SmackDown. I think when we look at this on Saturday morning when we go online, it's going to be a lot of comments saying, you know, there's going to be a ton of comments saying like, oh, you know what? It was way better.
Okay.
You know? All right. That's it, guys.
Fair enough.
Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. This will be posted. A podcast is available everywhere podcasts are available, guys. So head on over to gfknetwork.com. You can subscribe. Number of services. We're on Spotify. We're everywhere podcasts are available. That's it, guys. We'll see you all on Thursday. We'll be back. See you later.
Later.